Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States in 1961.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
And welcome to Mystery Babylon News Radio on November 14th, 2014. My name is Walt Stickle, and I'll be your host for the next 45 minutes. My co-host is Tom Fress of Inquisition Update at First Amendment Radio. Chris Pinto of NoiseOfThunder.com reprinted this book about 2 years ago. It can be purchased at his website at noiseofthunder.com. Chris had it reprinted and he wrote a 70-page foreword with 45 subtitles in the foreword. Last week we left off with the Central Agency the Central Intelligence Agency. And tonight we're going to be covering the Vietnam War and inter-JFK and Johnson and Rome. Now this is part 5 of a series called The Jesuit Brothers of the Pyramid Shaping Events in 2014. Here's part 5 being read by Tom Fress.
Now, after the war, President Truman, a 33rd degree Freemason, I will add, President Truman would dissolve the OSS and ultimately develop the Central Intelligence Agency in its place. Now, I'll just tell you, the Central Intelligence Agency is only the OSS on steroids. Okay? It's run by the Roman Catholic Church. It's part of the global intelligence gathering apparatus of the Roman Catholic Church, and dutiful 33rd degree Freemason President Truman made sure that it served the Pope of Rome. And it is often headed by Knights of Malta today, just as it was during the days of Wild Bill Donovan. The Central Intelligence Agency is simply the renamed OSS. They changed their face after the Second World War. They changed their name, but their diabolical papal agenda still remains. Now, he continues, nevertheless, it is admitted by nearly all CIA historians that the training of this new intelligence network was overseen by Donovan's OSS and some of his operatives, Alan Dulles, Richard Helms, William Colby, and William Casey, and all were Knights of Malta, and except for Helms, and I'll just check on that one, but he may well have been a Knight of Malta as well. These became the future directors of the Central Intelligence Agency. Okay? Alan Dulles, Richard Helms, William Colby, and William Casey. So nothing changed but the name and the funding, by the way. Now, with this in mind, we consider the following. Quote, during the CIA's formative years, Protestants predominated. However, Catholics wrestled control of the CIA's covert action section. That's right, they wrestled control of the CIA's covert action section, the secret section, the black ops. Okay? It was no coincidence that some of the agency's more grandiose operations were in Catholic countries of Latin America and the Catholic regime of South Vietnam. So here we have this new redone OSS named the Central Intelligence Agency. Many who know what the agency is really all about, they believe the CIA stands for Catholics in Action, which I concur. Catholics in Action, they took over the covert section of the CIA, and what they do in the dark would literally make the hair stand on the back of my listeners' necks. And we're going to get into some of that. We've already mentioned the war in South Vietnam, and now that's where the author is taking us, the Vietnam War. It begins with a quote, to the Vatican, Vietnam was another exercise for the planting of Catholic authoritarianism in an alien land against the wishes of the majority of the population. The Vatican is a master at using political and military opportunities to further its own religious policies, which ultimately means the expansion of the Roman Catholic Church. Unquote. This by Avril Manhattan in the most highly recommended book entitled Vietnam, Why Did We Go? Vietnam, colon, Why Did We Go? Question mark. And I highly encourage my listeners to get a copy of that book and read it. For those who can't afford the book, and I understand, you know, I look for these books all the time, that book is hard to get for less than $50 or $60. But once in a while, somebody will offer one on eBay that goes for pennies on the dollar, and I got mine very, very cheaply. I think I paid less than $10 shipped for my book. So keep your eyes open and get a copy of this book. For those who can't afford it, I believe most of this book, at least at one time, this book was put up on the internet in its entirety, and it can be read for free. Now, if you are interested in this, just Google the title, Vietnam, Why Did We Go? By Avril Manhattan, and see if it's still up on the internet. Again, the quote, and I want to make some comments about this quote. To the Vatican, Vietnam was another exercise for the planting of Catholic authoritarianism in an alien land against the wishes of the majority of the population. The Vatican is a master at using political and military operations or opportunities to further its own religious policies, which ultimately means the expansion of the Roman Catholic Church. I'm thinking of American history, way back to the colonial period, when Roman Catholics represented less than 1% of the population of the colonies. They were an extreme minority. And yet, as we've learned here by the many works that we've read on Inquisition Update, they eventually made America Catholic against the wishes of the majority, the vast majority of the population of this country, Protestant and Puritan. And they've used this country both politically and militarily to expand the Roman Catholic Church, not only in this country, but around the world. And as we'll see now, they did so in Vietnam. This is incredible information for those who have never heard this before. But this book is highly recommended. Vietnam, Why Did We Go? Now, he continues, he says, to understand the politics in the United States and abroad that led to the most controversial war in American history, this author highly recommends the book, Vietnam, Why Did We Go? By British author and journalist Avro Manhattan. This book, perhaps more than any other, discusses the complex nature of the Vatican's manipulation of world governments after the Second World War. In the publisher's foreword to the book, we read that, quote, Avro Manhattan, world authority on Vatican politics, has blown the cover on the real reason our boys suffered and died in Vietnam. He traces their death to the Vatican's passionate desire to make Asia Roman Catholic. Remind you of the Knights of Columbus motto, make America Catholic. Look what they did in Vietnam and see if you think they might go to the same efforts here in the United States of America. They wanted to make Vietnam Roman Catholic, and they've always wanted to make America Roman Catholic. Let's learn from history. He traces their death to the Vatican's Avro Manhattan, world authority on Vatican politics, has blown the cover on the real reason our boys suffered and died in Vietnam. He traces their death to the Vatican's passionate desire to make Asia Roman Catholic. Vatican agents hatched and plotted the Vietnam War. American soldiers were serving the Vatican in their desperate struggle to survive in the jungles, the hell of warfare, pain, death, and destruction. It was all engineered by her Jesuits, unquote. So Avro Manhattan is telling us that this is a foreign war imposed by the Vatican-run CIA, the United States government, against a majority Buddhist country to impose Roman Catholicism, where Roman Catholicism was an extreme minority. It was a Jesuit-fomented war. It was perpetrated by a country that is known around the world as being a Protestant nation. But it was nothing but a Holy Roman Crusade. American soldiers died for the Pope, not for the United States. 58,000 were led on a crusade unbeknownst to them, thought they were being patriotic and loyal to this country, but the Vatican were simply using them as conscripts in a crusade. Now that ought to raise the blood pressure of every God-fearing American. The author continues, he says, Manhattan argues how Pope Pius XII, known as Hitler's Pope, laid the foundation for what would become the Vietnam War. Can you imagine this? Even during the Second World War, Pope Pius XII was laying the groundwork for an eventual war in Vietnam. He writes that, quote, Pope Pius XII, who reigned from 1939 to 1958, was a brilliant diplomat, a cunning politician, and a religious crusader. He transformed the Roman Catholic Church into a global political instrument. He, more than anybody else outside of Germany, helped Adolf Hitler to power. His pet possession was communism. His pet obsession was communism, and he became the main instigator of the Cold War. Cardinal Spellman, as his spokesman in the United States, greatly influenced American politicians and public opinion. Through Cardinal Spellman, Pope Pius XII attempted to steer the United States military power against communism in Vietnam and kept wholly silent when in 1954 the United States military planned to use atomic weapons at the beginning of the Vietnam War, unquote. Now, many Americans today aren't aware that the United States was serious about using nuclear weapons at the beginning of the Vietnam War. It has since come out and been revealed, and it's also revealed and never talked about that Cardinal Spellman, who instigated this war with his Jesuits, was silent when all this talk about nuclear use, the use of nuclear weapons in Vietnam was suggested. Now, is that a Christian who would remain silent if the government of the United States was talking seriously about using nuclear weapons in Vietnam? No, this was a Holy Roman Crusade. This was Cardinal Spellman's war. And if we look deeply enough, if researchers will look deeply enough, they'll find private conversation that it was Cardinal Spellman's idea to use nuclear weapons in Vietnam. But certainly, we know that Cardinal Spellman and the Roman Catholic hierarchy in this country were at best silent when the suggestion was made. Now, the mention of Cardinal Spellman, former Archbishop of New York, is quite significant, since he is said to be said by some to be have been the most powerful Roman Catholic cardinal in American history, sometimes referred to as the American Pope. The Vietnam War was also called Spellman's War because it was the war that Cardinal Spellman wanted. And Cardinal Spellman had a lot of help to foment that war. And one of those was John Fitzgerald Kennedy, President of the United States. And here we have a photograph of in the book, included in the book, and you can see for yourself. This photograph was taken at the Alfred E. Smith dinner, the so-called charity ball, the charity dinner held by the Roman Catholic Church to introduce the presidential candidates and to allow them to speak. And it's a money-grubbing opportunity for the Roman Catholic Church. But remember, the Roman Catholic Church is primarily interested in politics, okay? The Roman Catholic Church cannot exist if it doesn't have a supreme role in politics. So here we have Cardinal Spellman between President-to-be John F. Kennedy and Richard Nixon on either side of him at the Alfred E. Smith Memorial Dinner at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City in 1960. So here we have the prime mover and shaker of the Vietnam War, Cardinal Spellman, the crusader, and he's coddling up to the power of the United States of America, future President John F. Kennedy and Richard Nixon, who would face off. Ultimately, John F. Kennedy would win the election. Now, President John F. Kennedy was America's first Roman Catholic president, and while the conflict in Southeast Asia had been brewing for years before he came to power, he was the first to commit United States troops to Vietnam. The man supported by Kennedy to become president of South Vietnam was a rabid Roman Catholic named Ngo Dinh Diem. Ngo Dinh Diem was a candidate for the Roman Catholic priesthood. He had ambitions to become a priest when he was younger, and finding the priesthood too rigorous, he decided to lend himself to the political strength of the Roman Catholic Church to become the president of the South Vietnamese Republic, to help the Vatican, to help Cardinal Spellman make South Vietnam Catholic. Now here's a quote. Kennedy, as senator, was part of the Catholic lobby which pushed for the installation of a Roman Catholic president in South Vietnam. When John F. Kennedy became president, he rapidly escalated the United States military involvement in support of Diem's Catholic regime. Later, when Diem's persecution of the Buddhists began to draw fire from world opinion, Kennedy had to choose between supporting his church's effort, the Catholicization of Vietnam, or promoting his own political career, unquote. And presumably this quote comes also from Avril Manhattan in his book, Vietnam, Why Did We Go? Now, he continues, Diem set up an Inquisition-style government in South Vietnam, financed and supported by the United States. So it was the United States, and let me just tell you, it was through the CIA, Catholics in Action, that they brought No Dinh Diem to power in Vietnam and financed his campaign. The United States financed the campaign of this Roman Catholic inquisitorial demon, No Dinh Diem, for the purpose of persecuting the Buddhists and to take them out of power and to put Roman Catholics in the government. And that's exactly what they did. And history records the Inquisition that took place as a result of that. Now stop and think. If Rome ever gains enough power in this country, which I insist she already has, after she is through with the United States and we've fought all the papal proxy wars that they have planned for us to fight, what they're going to do to Bible-believing Protestants in this country will put the persecution of what they did to the Buddhists in Vietnam to shame. That's why this program is called Inquisition Update. And I think every one of my listeners ought to know this and research this for themselves and see for yourself that I have not overstated this threat. No Dinh Diem set up an Inquisition-style government in South Vietnam, financed and supported by the United States. Yes, U.S. Protestant tax dollars went to put a Catholic regime in Vietnam and then paid to persecute brutally the Buddhists of Vietnam. Now, before anybody gets the idea that I'm a Buddhist, I'm telling you flat out I'm a Bible-believing Christian. Buddhism is just as pagan as Roman Catholicism. Let me just put it that way. Okay? It's all idols, all images, and all who bow down and worship images and idols will be destroyed when Christ comes. So we know what the end of Buddhism is, just as we know what the end of Roman Catholicism is. But here they used the United States and turned it into a papal proxy warrior at American tax dollar expense. I think of my poor mother, who struggled doing laundry to make a living for us kids, was paying taxes to support this Holy Roman Crusade back in the 50s. It angers me. Righteous indignation, and it ought to anger every American citizen. We read, continuing, quote, President No Dinh Diem of South Vietnam was a practicing Roman Catholic who ruled South Vietnam with an iron fist. He was a genuine believer in the evils of communism and the uniqueness of the Roman Catholic Church. He had originally been planted into the presidency by Cardinal Spellman and Pope Pius XII. Obviously, with the help of the CIA, the American CIA, and also the President of the United States, John F. Kennedy. He transformed the presidency into a virtual Roman Catholic dictatorship, ruthlessly crushing his religious and political opponents. Buddhist monks committed suicide by fire, burning themselves alive in protest against his religious persecutions. His discriminatory persecution of non-Catholics, particularly Buddhists, caused the disruption of the government and mass desertions in the army. This eventually led to United States military intervention in South Vietnam. In this terrorization, he was aided by his two Catholic brothers, the chief of the secret police and the Archbishop of Hue. Unquote. It was a Holy Roman Crusade that went horribly wrong at Protestant expense. It's time for the American people to know who they were really fighting for in the Vietnam War and stop these crusaders before they completely destroy this country. No Dinh Diem, a Roman Catholic, an inquisitor, was installed as president of South Vietnam by the papacy, by Cardinal Spellman, by the United States, by the CIA, financed by the United States taxpayer, and all for the purpose of making Roman Catholicism the religion of South Vietnam, to persecute the Buddhists, the majority Buddhists in South Vietnam. All the time while we're reading and speaking about this, keep in mind what Rome is capable of doing right here in the United States. That's the purpose for reading this book. Look to history to find out what Rome will do in the United States when she gets the opportunity and when the time is right. Now, Manhattan tells us that No Dinh Diem's extreme views caused a backlash against him. Quote, "The United States finally decided to discard him as an ally. The agents of the CIA, Catholics in Action, engineered a coup against him, and he, with one of his brothers, was murdered immediately after hearing Mass on November of 1963. Unquote. Why do you suppose they turned on him? Well, because he was a very, very prolific inquisitor. And he shocked the world by driving the Buddhists to immolate themselves on camera. That's right, the Buddhist monks took a gallon of gasoline in a can, sat down in the streets in front of their pagodas, doused themselves with gasoline, and lit themselves on fire to protest the persecutions of this inquisitorial Roman Catholic No Dinh Diem. And public opinion was, well, it was enough to put the fear of God in John F. Kennedy and also Cardinal Spellman and the papacy. Had word got out what was really going on in Vietnam, there might have been a revival of the Protestant Reformation in this country, a protest against what was going on. And Rome's chances of continuing to use this country as a papal proxy warrior might have been threatened. So they killed No Dinh Diem to get him out of the way. Says the United States, that is the Roman Catholic Church, finally decided to discard No Dinh Diem as an ally. Agents of the CIA engineered a coup against him, and he, with one of his brothers, was murdered immediately after hearing Mass on November 1963. Well, at least their papal executioners allowed them to eat the Jesus cookie before they died. How compassionate. Now, Manhattan notes the interesting parallel between the killing of President Diem following the assassination, followed by the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Quote, 20 days after the assassination of No Dinh Diem, the first Catholic president of South Vietnam, the first Catholic president of the United States, John F. Kennedy, was himself assassinated in Dallas, Texas. Unquote. Do you think this is just a coincidence? No. I think John F. Kennedy had a fit of conscience, realizing that he would not be sitting in the Oval Office if it weren't for the votes of Protestants in this country, Protestants who were mortally concerned that if he became president of the United States, the Pope would actually be the president, and they made him swear. They made him publicly swear that if he took the Oval Office, he would run the country and not the Pope. Yes, back in the 60s, there was still a little Protestantism left in this country. And John F. Kennedy, while beginning to serve his Pope as President of the United States, eventually realized if he was going to survive politically, he had to make this concession. Now, I believe if you take all of the rest of President Kennedy's presidency and the actions that he and Bobby took against the CIA and against the Pope's mafia and against the Federal Reserve Bank in this country, it might well be said that John F. Kennedy became Protestant, if not in spirit, at least in name, in action. But be that as it may, it says 20 days after the assassination of Diem, the first Catholic president of South Vietnam, the first Roman Catholic president of the United States, John F. Kennedy, was himself assassinated in Dallas, Texas. I think he knew too much. I think he had a fit of conscience, and the Vatican realized that he was a liability, an extreme liability. If he were to warm up too much to the Protestants, if he were to openly expose in the mainstream media what the Vatican was doing in Vietnam through No Dinh Diem, what the Vatican was doing through the Federal Reserve Bank, what the Vatican was doing in Congress, what the Vatican was doing at the CIA, Protestantism would have gone on a rampage. He was just too big a liability for the Roman Catholic Church. Now, the book continues. In 2011, the private tapes of Jackie Onassis Kennedy were released. 2011, they kept her private tapes secret until 2011. The private tapes of Jackie Kennedy was released, in which she names Lyndon Baines Johnson as the man she believed was responsible for Kennedy's murder. Her belief has been supported by LBJ's longtime mistress. That's right, LBJ was a whorehound, just like most papists serving in politics. Madeline Duncan Brown was her name, as well as his lawyer, Barr McClellan, who authored the book Blood, Money, and Power, How LBJ Killed JFK. But you can just bet your bippy LBJ had Vatican connections, and it was LBJ who organized the hit in Dallas and oversaw it. But the responsibility goes to Cardinal Spellman and the papacy at the time and the Black Pope. They were the ones that took out JFK. It was a religious assassination. And it bears repeating that not many days before his assassination, President John F. Kennedy gave his secret society speech where he condemned secret societies in this country. And isn't that what we've been talking about? The Imperium in Imperio, the order within an order, and that the Roman Catholic Church has thousands of secret societies all serving the papacy, number one of which is Freemasonry in this country. My understanding is that LBJ was a Freemason. But nonetheless, they killed John F. Kennedy in broad daylight with cameras rolling, and nobody went to jail. That's what they can do. That's what the papacy can do to a president of the United States or any king anywhere in the world that defies the papacy. John F. Kennedy defied the papacy, and it was the papacy who took him out. Now, more on Vice President Lyndon Johnson. It says, despite his Inquisition-style persecutions, Vice President Lyndon Johnson openly supported the Romanist dictator Diem. So Lyndon Baines Johnson, Vice President Johnson, was a crusader too. And it said in 1961, when he visited Saigon, he declared Diem the Winston Churchill of Asia, unquote. Johnson was not a part of the CIA plot to kill Diem, something he is said to have disapproved of. Well, isn't that just ducky? Now, after the assassination of John F. Kennedy, Lyndon Baines Johnson took over the White House and continued the Vietnam War, continued the Holy Roman Crusade against the Buddhists, which would continue for another 10 years, causing the deaths of more than 58,000 Americans. Johnson seemed to have completely reversed what Kennedy had attempted to do, but why? Why? Author John Cooney, in his book, The American Pope, detailed the incredible influence of the Archbishop of New York, Francis Cardinal Spellman, during this era. According to Cooney, the war in Vietnam was called Spellman's War because it was the war that Cardinal Spellman wanted. Cooney writes that his influence over LBJ was both powerful and deadly. So there you have Cardinal Spellman in bed with LBJ and vice versa. Now, quote, as the level of American troop commitment to the war escalated, the level of protest against the U.S. military presence in Vietnam increased. The president wanted his efforts blessed, and Spellman, more than any other churchman, was willing to proclaim Johnson's crusade a moral one. When Spellman returned from the front, he immediately flew to Washington, D.C., where the president met with him at once and routinely asked the cardinal's assessment of the war. While others wavered, Spellman was always certain that the president's actions were right. Thus, when Johnson asked both Spellman and Billy Graham at a luncheon what he should do next in Vietnam, Graham was uncomfortably silent. Quote, bomb them, Spellman unhesitatingly ordered. Just bomb them. And Johnson did. So this, too, is very telling. Billy Graham, a so-called Protestant, sitting side by side with Cardinal Spellman, the representative of Antichrist in the White House, in consultation with LBJ, the President of the United States, remained silent, as though subservient, and allowed Cardinal Spellman to dictate to the president what he would do. And what did he say? Bomb them. Just bomb them. Now, you can think what you want about Billy Graham, but I highly recommend that you don't settle on any opinions until you read the book. And as a matter of fact, I may even eventually read that book here on Inquisition Update. But I'll leave Billy Graham for now. Just remember that he was financed by a Knight of Malta. The Vatican puffed up Billy Graham. And it's no accident that Billy Graham's meetings were called crusades. He was an ecumenical Protestant, which are diametrically opposed terms. As much as I love Billy Graham as a little child, I know all about him now. And it's horrifying reality. And it is no wonder to me anymore why Billy Graham sat quietly. He sat completely mute at that luncheon with the President of the United States, LBJ, and Cardinal Spellman. What would a Protestant do? A real Protestant. In that same scenario, when Spellman said, bomb them, just bomb them, wouldn't you at least ask the question, why? What offense have they committed against the United States? And why all the persecution of the Buddhists? Why all this bloodshed? Why didn't Billy Graham have the spiritual fortitude to ask the tough questions? I hope my listeners someday find out.
Well, thanks, Tom. And we've run out of time for this week. Remember, this is a series. Tomorrow's series is going to be part 6, The Jesuit Brothers of the Pyramid, Shaping Events in 2014. Tomorrow's broadcast, Tom is going to start in on the Inquisition in America. There are two images of Innocent III and Gregory IX found in the U.S. House of Representatives. I remember when Chris Pinto was being interviewed on a radio broadcast, and I heard this. It was hard to believe. What are two of the major villains of the Inquisition hanging on the walls of the House of Representatives? I'm going to read one paragraph that Tom will start with tomorrow. Inside the House of Representatives are the busts of two Roman Catholic popes, and not just any two popes, but the two men responsible for founding the Great Inquisition, a movement unlike any other horror recorded in the history of mankind, worse than the Holocaust of World War II, for it gripped all of Europe with terror for nearly 600 years. World War I and World War II was the second 30-year war, but it was only 30 years. Imagine, this went on for 600 years. It's the reason why it's called the Dark Ages. You know, it seems to be that it's been forgotten.
Seems to be that this world is in a mess. Seems to be all life's just a test. Seems to be we think we've lived our lives. The best thing's clear to see that only God will judge and bless. Seems to be. Seems to be that we've lived our lives in lies. Seems to be we are born and then we die. Seems to be life passes, it just flies, and it's clear to see that only God's truth will survive. Seems to be this world can bring fame, riches, mantles of honor and glory, just for a time and a season. Fame, riches, mantles of honor and glory, with no everlasting purpose or reason. Seems to be that this world is in a mess. Seems to be life's just a test. Seems to be we think we've lived our lives. The best thing's clear to see that only God will judge and bless. Seems to be.